Well, praise God. I know we still have people coming that are running a little bit late here, but it's good to see those that could make it here so far to be here. Thank you for being here. And all those who are online, I just want to say thank you also as well for being with us. Before we do anything else or go any further, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank you now, Lord God, for what you're doing today. Lord God, in the hearts and minds, Lord Jesus, let your spirit go forth, O God, for those that have a hunger for you, Lord, for that have a hungering need to hear your word, your voice, your spirit, Lord God, covered by the blood. We give it all unto thee now, Lord God, that your spirit would be preeminent in our lives, that you would go forth and do a work, O Lord, to establish us in truth, O Lord, in faith and obedience. To walk in the light as you are in the light. In Jesus' name, under the blood, we pray. I pray, Lord God, that you would be here with us today, that you would, your anointing would be here, and that you would be here with us as we praise and worship your name, and that you would give me the words, O Lord, for the message today, because I don't know what I'm going to say at all. Give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise God. This is really a step of faith, I tell you. When you get up here in front of people, you don't know what you're gonna say at all. You don't know what the Lord is going to give you. It can be very intimidating, whether there be many or few people. Only the Lord can lead, guide, and direct not only words, our thoughts, but he gives us power to hear too. He gives us strength and power to apply the word of God to our lives, to obey the word of God. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
For without him, we can do nothing. Truly. And why don't we just begin now by getting into some praise and worship. And we're going to just start out with a simple chorus, I think. Maybe, I guess we'll go to 39 and just start out with Have Faith in God. 39 in the chorus book, it's just a small chorus, but boy, do I need faith right now. And let's just ask God to bless this service, amen. Faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God.
Praise you,
Lord. Oh, praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, the Lord is good. I just give praise and glory to the Lord today. I don't know how this is all going to come out, but I trust God. He's going to not only give me the words to say, but give understanding, meaning, and knowledge. And give us all grace to hear to walk in obedience, faith. But it ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's about giving God all the glory, isn't it? I mean, who am I, right? Who are any of us without the Lord? We can do nothing without the Lord.
That's right.
But we truly need the Lord's help every day, every moment.
Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
If we could just go to number 70, if you believe. Number 70 in the chorus book. And just sing that now. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Whoa, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. If you believe, you shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Whoa, He is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe. Believe. Oh, that word believe. You must believe. There are so many people walking about today without belief. Because they believe a lie, amen? The world is full of lies. The devil walking about seeking whom he may devour every day. There's another song that I'm hoping that we can go to. Reach Out and Touch the Lord. Number 76 in the chorus, if we could go there now. Ask the Lord to touch our hearts today, to hear, to speak, to feel His presence, to know His voice, amen. To have confidence in Him. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Are you reaching out by faith today? Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord by faith today. Reach out and touch the Lord by faith. Believe that God is. He is able to help you overcome. Listen, this life is full of challenges. Life is full of problems. We know that. Life is full of issues. It's full of wicked and evil. The devil prowling to lie to your face every morning as you get up, saying you can't do this and you can't do that. But there is a God in heaven who says otherwise.
Praise
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is coming soon. It behooves us to be ready.
Praise you, Lord God.
If we could now go to number 95. 95 in the chorus book. Alleluia, He's an answering God. Let's go there. Alleluia, He's an answering God. Alleluia, He's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Alleluia, He's an answering God. Alleluia, He's an answering God. Alleluia, He's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah, He's an answering God. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord.
Thank
praise
you, Lord God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you,
praise
Lord.
God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord God. Well, listen, there's no need to walk in fear today. Tell you why. Because even though that the storm clouds are swirling about you, storm clouds of war, storm clouds of innuendo, lies and deception, storm clouds of financial crisis, impending doom on the markets, impending doom and countries like Syria, Egypt, etc., etc. Things of that nature happening all over, all the time, even at a quickening pace today. But listen, God's in charge. He's in control of your life. He's in control of all that happens. But when you're found in Him, you have nothing to fear. When you're found in truth, you don't have to worry about the lies of deception round about you. The devil trying to put fear into your hearts. Usually it's those who fear God that don't have the Spirit of God in them. That don't fear God, rather. And that have fear of man. Because they're not intimate with the Lord. And that's what we need more than ever today. It's to be intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll have no fear of man. Amen? Let's sing that song, Because He Lives, number 98. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Just because He lives, His life is worth the living. Amen. He's the one that holds the future, not us. All fear has to go. He's the one that holds tomorrow. He's the one that holds tomorrow. Amen. We don't have to carry the burdens of worry and fret and fear about us. Amen. I remember how I was in El Paso, Texas, visiting with a friend of mine, and we were sitting there as Mike and Jackie Bumgardner over in El Paso, and strong Christian friends. And I remember how that there was a knock on their door. They do a lot of street witnessing, and they get out there and they talk to people on the street, and they witness to people. And there's this one guy that he had a knapsack. He was hunched over like this. And in that knapsack, he was carrying liquor, beer and liquor. He was drunk and he was hunched over. And what he was doing was carrying all that sin in his life until he was hunched over. And I remember talking to the man and telling him, look at yourself. I says, you have that liquor in your knapsack. You're hunched over. Your life is in great need of help and repair. You need God in your life, and you're hunched over from sin. And the man, he looked at me, and he goes, I know I need help. We had a chance to pray with him. His back straightened up a little bit. But you see, people make a choice every day. And you see the sin and sorrow of this world that people carry will cause people to walk like this, hunched over, living hunched over, full of worry and fret and fear. This isn't a play on words. This is just simple reality, truth. And how we need the Lord to deliver us, strengthen us, make us whole.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
To save, Jesus. Heal, and deliver.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank Amen. You, to save, heal, and deliver our souls.
Amen.
From sin, praise death, you, and hell. If there's anyone here that needs to be saved,
yes,
from sin, you, death, and hell, the opportunity is here today and now.
Thank you.
Knocking on your door.
Praise you, Jesus.
The door of your heart. Let's sing one more song before we get into the gospel. He touched me. 109, He touched me. Let's go there. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. And something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Is He touching your heart today? Amen. He touched me. Let Him touch your heart today. Let Him touch your heart and soul today. Make room and make way for Him to do a work in your life today. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
He touched me.
Praise the Lord.
And how we need that touch evermore today.
Thank you, Lord God.
We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. Can I get my friend to take up our tithes and offerings? Thank you, brother. Thank you. Praise God. If anybody has anything that they would like to share, anything that they would like to share with others, a testimony of any kind, feel free to raise your hand if you have a concern or anything. You need prayer. Thank you, brother. If you need prayer of any kind, feel free to raise your hand. Brother, your wife, how is she doing right now? Is she still feeling kind of under the... Is she okay? Okay. Under the table a little bit? Okay. Praise God. All right. Well, we'll... If there's any prayer that she needs, let us know. We'll keep her in prayer also. And everyone else, anyone who has a need here. I know Jane and Anna are not here today. They are moving today into an apartment, so they're not here. And others are out perhaps for whatever reason. So we'll just keep each other in prayer, hold each other up. And move on, move upward, move forward in the Lord. Amen. That's what we're called to do. We're called to hold each other up in prayer, to minister one to another, to love each other, to care for each other's needs, carry each other's burdens. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So, if anybody has a need, feel free to raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for these tithes, these gifts, and these offerings. We thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. Thank You, Lord God, for counting us worthy to continue the ministry, Lord God. That You'd use these gifts of tithes and offerings for Thy purpose, for Thy glory. Help us to continue to be good stewards of what You give us. In Jesus' name, under the blood we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Well, the name of the message today is going to be Faith and Obedience. Faith and Obedience. I don't even know where it's going to go or how it's going to go. I studied a few chapters here and there, but then I felt impressed to go to a few other scriptures today now before church. So if we could go to, I guess, start off in Romans chapter 5. I just want to speak a little bit about faith right now. Romans chapter 5. You see, the trouble with today, what we're dealing with today, is that the devil would have you believe a lie. See, that... Yes, ma'am?
Where is Romans?
Romans chapter 5. That is right after the book of Acts. Can you, Chris, could you show her?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, thank you. Praise God. No problem. You got that? Amen. Praise God. And amen. So anyways, what I'm trying to say to you today is the devil wants you, because through the medias of the internet, the TV, the national media, through the newspapers, magazines, even the radio, is full of deceptive practice of lie. Because basically everything that comes out of Obama's mouth is a lie today. Isn't that right? Everything he says is a lie or some kind of a deceptive tactic on his part to misguide and mislead. It's a deflection. Everything that is going on today is used to deflect truth, or to deflect from the truth that is really going on. Things that are these makeshift wars and rumors of wars and scare tactics that you hear in the news media, these false alarms that you hear all the time, are being used to cause people's eyes to get off the truth, that what they're really doing. What are they really doing behind the scenes? All the things that they put in our food, our drink, our water, soil, air, are used to cause people to get sick. And people are misled to believe that fluoride is somehow good for you. All these things, that all these deceptive practices that they use to lie to you and me. Manipulating the truth. It's been said that truth has always been the first casualty of war. And how true it is. Now, understand that today, in this age of deception, we need to learn how to walk in truth, to see through that thin veneer of deception and lie and innuendo that is propagated to us from all over the media, the government, our society today. Is built on lies. Amen? And so I want to ask you to go to Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know how to have peace with God? By faith we are justified. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Amen? But by faith in Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have that hope in the glory of God to come. We have that hope that he is able to rescue us and receive us from this dreadful place called sin. In a dreadful place called this world, by a dreadful enemy called the devil. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Why do we glory in tribulations? Because it says here also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. When you have trouble in your life, don't try to seek to run from that trouble at every waking moment. Go through the trouble. Take time to go through the trouble. Remember, God isn't troubled by trouble. Neither should we be. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Experience to go through times. You're going to understand that there is going to come a time when there's a time for peace, a time for joy, a time for rest, a time to fight the devil, a time to have rest in the Lord, a time to fight back, a time to sing, a time to lament, a time to sorrow. All that experience. And then hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts by what? The Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's a free gift. You can't work up faith. You can't drum up faith. You can't somehow manipulate yourself and read a 12-step book on how to have faith. It's a gift given by the Holy Ghost. It's a gift given by God. Faith. Why don't we now go to... let's go to Romans chapter 10, start at 17. Amen. First of all, before we go there, let's scoot over to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just reminded of Ephesians chapter 2, 8 to go there first. Let's go there. It says here, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Just to cement that. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." It's right here in the Bible, right here in the Word of God, telling us this. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Not walk in deception as some have. Let's go now to Romans. Romans chapter 10. And go to 17 with me, if you will. Rather, let's go to verse 16. Start out there. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." In other words, what that means is not all they that are of Israel are of Israel. Amen? "But they have not all obeyed the gospel," it says here. "For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" What is the first thing the devil going to do when you hear the word of God? When you walk out that door, as I said last week, the devil is going to sit there at the back door and greet you and meet you at the back door. The minute you walk out that door, he's going to start talking to you, getting your mind and trying to steal that word from your heart, trying to take away that victory, try to take away that confidence in the Lord, try to take away that faith that you just received, and start to doubt and worry and fear again. Put that little doubt and fear on your shoulder, whispering things. "You didn't really believe that, did you? That was just a book written 2,000 years ago. You really believe all that nonsense?" That's the devil's lies from the pit of hell. And we ought not to listen to the devil. Don't listen to those things that are contrary to the Word of God. But it goes on to say here, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Did you hear that? See that? "Faith cometh by hearing the word of God." When you hear it in the ears, it goes where? Into your heart. What people receive goes into their heart. What comes out of their heart comes out of their mouth. They speak what comes out of their heart. Amen? "But I say, have ye not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." They've heard, but not all have believed. Because, you see, the devil will come and set traps and snares. You see, people get into the world We're sold into sin. We have to be delivered from sin, death, and hell. That's why the Lord sent the Savior. That's why God sent His Son, Jesus. We were sold into slavery. We must be delivered from it. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, the sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. See, the Lord, what happened was He called out to Israel, who wouldn't listen. They were going after other gods. Their hearts were given over to the gods of this world. Money, fame, intellect, wealth. They wanted to be like now. They wanted their gold streets now. Like Creflo Dollar would say, I want my gold streets now. I want my limousines, and I want my dancing girls on the stage, and I want my money. And he runs through the piles of money that the people would throw at his feet. Running through the money, he said, glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Look what the Lord has given. Goes on to say, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. God was going to turn jealous. But they would hear none of it. They wanted none of God's mercy and grace. They wanted their man-made king in Saul. They didn't want God to rule over them. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth mine hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. All day long. All day long he's reaching out to people who have rebelled against God, His stretched out arm of mercy, and they would reject it. They rejected God. They wanted a man to rule over them. Let's go there. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel. We could start out in chapter 8. Amen. What does it say here in chapter 8, 1 Samuel? And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, and he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, this was a time of great transition now. Samuel was considered the last judge before the kings. Amen? And now the name of the firstborn was Joel. And the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not after the ways, not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Isn't that what pastors and priests are doing today? Filthy lucre's sake, taking bribes, manipulating the people for money. Send in your money. Send in your money to me. Send in your sign your business over to me here, and we'll make sure that we pray for you, and you'll receive a great large sum of money on such and such a date, or you'll have great wealth, or you know, whenever people start talking about wealth instead of God, you know it's a false gospel. What they're trying to do is they're taking your eyes off of God. and putting your eyes on some new automobile that you might get if you give them money or wealth of some kind or some sort. That's taking your eyes off of God. When the Lord said that He called us to die, He didn't call us to have our gold streets now. He called us to die to the flesh. He called us to die to this world. Peter and John, or was it James, as they were walking, healing that man who was on the side of the road, "Please help me." They said, "Money and gold have we not, but what we have we give such unto thee. Rise up and walk." Amen?
Amen.
That's what we are to have, the power of God. We're not looking for wealth to line our pockets for filthy lucre's sake. We want our needs are met by the power of God working in and through us by the Holy Ghost for God's glory. Amen? Not for our sake. But what happened here as we set the precedence before we go any further? What happened in this time of Judges? What happened here? It goes on to say, "And said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not after thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Do you see that? They wanted to be like the rest of the world. They wanted to be like the rest of the nations of this earth. They wanted other men to rule over them and not God. What a mistake. If only we could make that claim in this country that God ruled over us. Wouldn't that be a different world? Wouldn't we be a blessed nation? And it goes on to say, "But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee." They're going to forsake God, and they are today. You see, churches, true remnant churches, are half empty today because people have forsaken the Lord. When they should be full, if the people truly love God. But they are sitting half empty. Why? Because there's a famine for the Word of God. There's also a famine for hearing the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
"Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." Now, what is the Lord saying? The Lord's going to give them what they want. Amen? The people wanted a man to rule over them. God's going to give them a man. Instead of a man who would rule with great wisdom, a heart after God, or for God to rule over them, who would rule with great judgment and fairness and legitimacy, now they're going to get a king who won't even know what time of day it is. He's going to be reprobate. He started out, but look, here the point is this. When you're small in your own eyes, God will make you a man to have understanding and knowledge and wisdom. It started out so with King Saul. At first, he was small in his own eyes. At the first, He trembled before God. He was the smallest, the least, in the tribes of the least tribe of all Israel. That's usually how God chooses, the smallest. And he raises that up for his glory. And it started out so with Saul. But you see, the people have lost sight of God. They started going after other gods because of rebellion. Rebellion in their hearts. They wanted their own needs by their own means met. Instead of waiting on God, because see, waiting on God takes work and prayer, effort. It takes believing. It takes faith. Like I said, faith is a gift. It's not manipulated. It's given by God, but to those who God would choose to give it to. Amen? Oh, and it goes on to say here, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He's going to give them what they wanted. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. Can you imagine that? And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest. In other words, it'll no longer be for their good, but they'll be working for him instead of for their own. They won't have the liberty to meet and to live for their own means. And it's kind of like today in our own life, in our own society. We no longer truly see the value of what we work for anymore. Usually most of it is taken and gone by taxes. It's stolen by theft and craft, by laws. Taken under the table. Our taxes, these big bite chunks out of your check, those big bite marks that you see there, that shouldn't be there at all. You work 40 hours a week and you might as well have worked 10 hours for what you made out of the check that you've been given. You're basically working as a slave in this day and hour. Because about 60-70% of your check is going to the government. And they're looking to take more. And it goes on to say, and he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, it says here, and give them to his servants. Now, isn't that a lot like what Obama's doing today? He'll go on a vacation. He'll take your money and my money. He'll go on a $7 million vacation and buy up a whole floor of a hotel room, 5-star hotel, at what? Thousands of dollars a night for how many? 200, 300 people, maybe more. Give them to his servants and take it from you and me. We pay for it. We pay for his shenanigans. We pay for his big mistakes. We're the ones that pay the bill, that foot the bill for his lunacy. He doesn't know whether he's coming or going. He does things, he says things, but he's a puppet of the New World Order. He's a puppet. And so are all those that don't walk after the Spirit of God. So are all those that don't want God to rule over them, that walk in disobedience. And it goes on to say, and he taketh the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants, it says here. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. Oh my goodness, how that lines up and parallels with today. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. This is what the people wanted in America too. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. The people wanted Obama. They clamored after him. Now they're clamoring and they're passing laws for homosexual rights, abortion rights, taking your gun rights away. Not that I'm all for guns, because I don't, you know, I'm not into violence. I'm not into all that. But you see, it's about taking your rights away. Pretty soon, we have no rights at all left. Nothing. We're going to be bankrupt before we know it. We already are, basically. We're already looking up to see bottom. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people and rehearsed them before in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye, every man to his city. Now you're going to have what you want. They refused the mercy of God. They refused his voice. They refused the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted their mammon over manna, over the bread of life. They wanted to serve money. They wanted to serve wealth. They wanted to be whipped into submission. And that's what they're going to get. Now, let's go now to 1 Samuel chapter 13. This is what I wanted to start out with, but all this kind of got, the Lord kind of put all the other stuff on me before church started here. And so now we're going to get into the message that I was reading or preparing for. But here in chapter 12, 1 Samuel, Samuel is telling the people how that they had done wickedly. He is giving them a just warning. And said that, as he says here in chapter 12, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And he goes on to say that he is a witness, and what they did is a witness against themselves, that they will be held accountable. But that they will have to go through it now. Now they have a king, a man to rule over them, who will do them no good. But yet God is merciful. Yet God is gracious, isn't he? Because at the end of chapter 12, what does it say? What happened after Samuel warned the people? For the Lord will not forsake his people For his great name's sake, it says in verse 22. Because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. The good and the right way being led by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of man. Amen? Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. This is a just warning. Now, this is all a preface. Now, before we get into chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. That kind of sets the tone, sets the pace, and helps you to understand, see what happened. Saul was more interested in this image than he was in substance. He was more interested in himself than in hearing from God. He was more interested in what people thought of him. He was more interested in what people, the way people looked at him. He was more interested in those kinds of things rather than the things of God. Whereas King David now, King David was a man after God's own heart. And that is what we'll probably be getting into in later sermons, because this probably won't be just one. This is probably going to be more of a, like a part two, part three type series that I'm doing a study on as we preach and teach and whatever, however it comes out. Amen. But let's go to First Samuel chapter 13 and read. It goes on to say, Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel. Now we're talking about faith and obedience. Now as Saul were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Now understand, Jonathan had a kindred spirit with David. Oh, if King Saul had the heart of his son Jonathan. Oh, it would have been a different scenario altogether. But it goes on to say in verse 3, and Jonathan smote. Did you see that? And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. Now what happened? Right away, what we're talking about is that who was looking for the credit? Already, Saul's heart was in the wrong with the wrong motives. Now, what we're trying to show you is that before we show you how that David lived his life, I'm trying to show you how that not to live. What is the wrong way to live? What is the wrong way to have your life with God and others around you? This is the wrong motive, the wrong heart. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines. It was Jonathan who did it. That was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul of Gigal. Now, this is going to get interesting. And the Philistines gathered themselves together. Now listen. To fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots. Now, that's a lot of chariots. And 6,000 horsemen. That is a lot of people. And people as a thousand, or as a sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. They encamped. That's where they set up camp. And what happened? They set up camp and Saul could see the multitudes around him. Now God was going to test Saul, and he's going to test his faith. He's going to test his obedience. This is going to be what the people wanted, remember. And it goes on to say, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves. Did you see that? And in thickets, and in rocks, and in high places, and in pits. They were afraid, and they deserted Saul. These were deserters. And Saul sat there because he didn't know what to do. What happened? Because Samuel told Saul to wait, and he would come and instruct them from the Lord what to do. What happened here? And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. They didn't know what to do. They were in a strait, and they were surrounded by their enemies. And here was Saul waiting, waiting, and waiting. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. Listen. And the people were scattered from him. What happened was that the people, they lost heart and they lost confidence in Saul. Saul was sitting there rummaging around. No doubt he was thinking, what am I going to do now? The people were beginning to scatter left and right, leaving him. All but 600 men were left. And it goes on to say, and it came to pass. No, wait, wait, wait. Let's back up. Let's go to verse 9. And Saul said, now this is where his first mistake is. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Now, Saul was not called to be priest and king and prophet. There's only one, and that's God himself. That's Jesus. 2 Chronicles 26:16 talks about that. If we could go to 2 Chronicles 26:16. It says here, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Who are we talking about? Uzziah. Uzziah did the same thing. And the Uzziah was not, now listen, Uzziah ruled 52 years in Israel. Uzziah was a good man who did right in the eyes of God until he was proud and his heart was lifted up before the people. He was strong. He ruled 52 years. And he had built fortified gates and fortified the wall near the corner gate and the valley gate. These high towers. And he built himself and bulwarks and weapons of war of every kind. And he was honored even into the gates of Egypt. He was honored greatly among all the peoples. His fame went worldwide. King Uzziah was a man who was greatly feared and respected until his heart was lifted up. And then he went in and he was going to do a sacrifice unto the Lord was not his call to do. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, to the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. They were consecrated by the Lord. You can't assume to be a, you can't call yourself to be a prophet. You can't call yourself to be a priest. You can't call yourself to be anything. God has to call you. Amen. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. They gave him a fair warning to leave. God gave him a warning to leave. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and listen, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from besides the incense altar. And Uzziah ended up dying. He had leprosy until the day of his death. That's how serious a matter it is. That's a serious matter. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel. I wanted to offer that up to you as a parallel to what King Saul is doing. King Saul, how serious a matter it is. Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. He offered the burnt offering, it says here in verse 9, and it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Oh, the devastating moment of that time for Samuel. That how devastating a time and a moment that would have been for anyone. And Saul went out to meet him. Oh, Samuel, look what I've done. He went to salute him. He went to go greet him. As if what he did was okay. He didn't think twice about it. Samuel, I've obeyed the Lord. I've waited for you. I've done all these things. In verse 11, it says this, and Samuel said, What hast thou done? And Saul said, Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, Now it sounded plausible, did it not? It sounded reasonable, did it not? But listen, we are not to lean on our own understanding, are we? The Bible says, Lean not on thine own understanding, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways. We're supposed to lean on the Lord, have faith in God, not in our own understanding. And that's what Saul was doing right here. Therefore said I, The Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal and have not made supplication. Oh. And have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. He didn't trust in God. He didn't wait for the Lord's appointed time for the prophet of God to show up to give instruction, to wait on him. Samuel assumed he could do it himself. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly." These words are more serious than the way they're read. "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." Oh, what happened to that Saul? What happened to him? Fear, worry. The devil came in and started talking to him. "You better do it yourself, Saul. Forget about what Samuel said he was going to do. He's not going to show up." The devil does that in your life too, in my life, all our lives, to tempt us to disobey the word of God. And it goes on to say here in verse 14, what does it say there? "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." What just happened? The Lord had sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You know, you can disobey one too many times. And there comes a time when the Lord's Spirit departs. Oh, that happened in more than a few places in the Word of God. And we'll be getting to that. We'll be getting to those areas. "And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal into Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. The rest had scattered. They had gone their own way into the hills and thickets and holes and caves and hiding places behind and under rocks perhaps. And Saul said, and Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with him." Now I want to show you that digression here. When the Lord's Spirit departs from somebody from disobedience, the person's ability to discern, the person's ability to obey digresses. It gets worse and worse and worse until they are almost and completely reprobate. They cannot tell the difference between right and wrong. But when the Spirit of God departs from somebody, it is because of disobedience. It is because of rebellion in the heart. It's because sin is lodged in there, not repented of. It's because a sin's heart and motives are not right. They have not come clean with God. They have not fully given everything over to the Lord. Be grateful to God if he's still working with you today. Be grateful to the Lord that he's still working with you if he is. If he's still convicting you of sin, if he's still talking to you and encouraging you to read the word and to pray, if you still worry and you fear about sin in your life, that's a good thing. If you still are concerned about sin in your life, that's a blessing. Because those who no longer are concerned about sin in their life are the ones that God has departed from. "And Saul and Jonathan, his son, and the people that were present with him abode in Gibeah of Benjamin." You see, that's where Saul came from. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out. Now, who's a spoiler? Isn't the devil the spoiler in your life? To try to kill, steal, and destroy what God gave to you? To spoil you? To defeat you? To take away your faith? To take away that God-given ability that He gave you to believe in Him? And to worship Him and to put Him first. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. How many know that the devil comes in like a flood? Oftentimes he'll come in like a flood. He'll try to overrun you with worry and fear and all these things happening all at once to you. All at once. All of a sudden, well, you know, your neighbor is mad at you. Your hand gets stuck in the door. You got a stomach ache. Somebody's cursing you on the road, almost swerving you off the road. I mean, there are things that happen any number of ways, any given day. Anything could happen. We know that the devil will attack. And he often comes in like a flood and he tempts you. And he attacks and assaults your mind. He assaults your thought life to get your mind and your thoughts off of God. He accuses God in your mind. He blasphemes God by putting thoughts of blasphemous thoughts in your mind. And this is where we need to fight and guard our hearts. And it goes on to say, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies, and company turned under the way that leadeth to Opora, into the land of Sheral. Another company turned the way of Beth-horon, and another company turned to the way of the border, and looketh to the valley of Zeboim, toward the wilderness. Toward the wilderness. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that what the Lord takes us towards the wilderness? Now, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. And the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. All they had were basically hoes, rakes, pitchforks, ox goads, farm tools is all the weapons they had. Like a bunch of hillbillies running through the mountains. You know, with a slipshod instruments. Just a wayward people who, you know, taking anything they could grab at arm's length. Well, maybe I can use a stick. Maybe that might poke them in the eye. Let's see here. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, and his coulter, and his axe, and his mattock. In other words, a sickle or a hoe. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the coulters, and for the forks, and for the axes to sharpen the goads. What's a goad? A goad is an ox goad. It's a tool. It's like a rod with a sharp end to it that they would goad an ox goad, to go where they needed to go, to, you know, steer the goat, an ox, a certain way. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. What is that? The passage of Michmash. A place where the Philistines went in through the passage. A stone on the right, a stone on the left. Through the mountain pass and into a valley about an acre where they were holding up. And what was that called? A garrison. It was a garrison, is what you would call a place where they would soldiers would go to protect a fortress. A garrison would be like a gate, a place where you would hold up like a fort before would be laid out before a city to protect the city. Does that make any sense to you? So anyways, that's what a garrison is, for those who maybe didn't know that. But it goes on to say in chapter 14, verse 1. Now here's the situation now that gets real interesting with Jonathan. No question in my mind, Jonathan had to be thinking of Shamgar in his bed, who himself, Shamgar, if you would read, we'll go there, as a matter of fact, perhaps. But let's first read here, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison, that is on the side, the other side," but he told not his father. Now listen, Jonathan had the right motive. Jonathan wasn't looking to tell the whole world what he was doing. Jonathan must have been musing all night long and thinking to himself, how dare these Philistines continue to ransack us, to come against us. It was the Lord who put that on him, that gave him faith to step out with him and his armor bearer. Now, armor bearers are meant, as he had him with him, are unusually brave and have great strength. And later, that would happen with King David for Saul. He would be his armor bearer. But listen, Jonathan was a man who truly had a kindred heart with King David, but Jonathan still had that tender heart. Jonathan was not corrupted like his father. Jonathan could hear from God, and he had faith to believe. If you don't have a Jonathan, go find a Jonathan in your life. We all need Jonathans in our lives. Somebody who will stand up and say, enough is enough, and go fight for what is right, good, and well, pleasing in God's sight. And it says in verse 2, and Saul tarried. Here he was. Saul was tarrying under the pomegranate tree in Gilgal, still fidgeting, sitting there, wondering and worrying, what am I going to do? See, what I'm talking about is that he didn't have the wisdom, nor the fear, nor the inspiration from God to stand up and to stand out and do what was right. No. Who did it? Jonathan was the one who got up in the middle of the night, said to his armor bearer, come, let's go and do something about this. Let's go. He didn't go tell his father and everyone around what he was going to do to get the credit. But this is what happens to those who walk in disobedience, who digress in the ways of God, who can't no longer see or understand properly. And this is what Saul was doing. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And listen to this now. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now listen. And Abihah, the son of Itob, Ichabod's brother. Now, why did the Lord put that in there? Why? We'll get to that in a moment. The son of Pahinas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Let's go quickly back to 1 Samuel chapter 4. And here we read what? Let's go to 4, chapter 4, verse 18. I just want to read something there. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell off the seat. Now we're talking about Eli. Eli and his sons who were perverting the truth and were sleeping with them women in the church, in the gate, who were walking with whoredom in their hearts, seeking to pervert truth. And what happened to Eli? After all, he heard what his sons were doing and he did nothing about it. But what happened? And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God was taken. The ark of God was taken. That he fell off his seat backward by the gate side of the gate. When you fall backward, that's not a good sign. And his neck broke and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. Why? Because, look, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken. And because her father-in-law and her husband, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. They fell. They fell backwards. What happened in John 18:6? Let's go there real quick. John 18:6. Let's go there. I want to show you something that people fall backwards. When Jesus, in verse 1 here, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was the garden into which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. He knew it well. He was with the Lord many times. For Jesus oftentimes resorted hither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Now listen to this. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. That great majesty of God's glory gave them a glimpse of that eternal judging voice that said, I am he. And they all fell backward. You know that no man will stand on judgment day, that wickedness. No wicked man will stand on judgment day. As soon as he said unto them, I am he. They went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I have told you that I am he. If therefore seek me, let these go their way. Now that's the heart of a shepherd. That's the kind of heart of a shepherd that David had. Because you see, David loved his men. Jesus loved his men. Jesus loved his people. But there's a big difference between those that obey and disobey. Saul didn't love his men. That saying might be fulfilled that ye speak of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. The wicked will be slain. Let's go to Isaiah quickly. 11. Isaiah 11:4. I want to show you something there too. Isaiah 11:4. And then we'll go back perhaps. It says here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That's what he gives to people when you have his Spirit. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, able to lead and guide and direct. The Spirit of counsel, of might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. When you don't fear God, what happens to you? You walk in disobedience. And shall make him of quick understanding and the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He doesn't judge as a man judges. But that's what the people wanted. That's what God gave them. Saul, a man who would judge after the carnal and after the flesh. That's what they got. But it goes on to say here in verse 4, but the righteous shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. He slayed the wicked on that day when Jesus told them, I am he. And on that day when we stand before God, the wicked will be slain with the rod of his mouth. The rod of his mouth is the words of his, found in the word of God. Will be judged by the word of God.
Amen, that's right.
And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. His thoughts. He's faithful. He's calling us to be faithful and obedient.
That's right.
We go to Psalm real quickly then. Psalm chapter 1. We'll eventually get back there to 1 Samuel. I want to read this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see, what happened with King David? King David's heart was, as he was speaking here, his heart was after the heart of God. The heart of God is the word of God. Amen? And that's walking in obedience. Goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, Saul was not meditating day and night on the Lord's law. He was walking in complete disobedience and disregard to them, to what the Lord was telling him to do through Samuel. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now what happened to Saul? Nothing he was doing was prospering now, except for what Jonathan, his son, was doing. Even though the kingdom departed from Saul, he would yet reign for another 20 years. But yet, Jonathan was that bright light that God was showing Saul, showing him that what he could have had, that kind of courage and strength and faith that Saul once could have had, was departed from him. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's what happens to those who walk in disobedience. Now, go back with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel. We're almost done here because the time is running out. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And it goes on to say now, as we'll have to close here in just a few moments. So I'm not going to be able to finish chapter 14. I'll probably have to start over anyways next week. But it goes on to say, in and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the name of the other Sina. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. Now listen, goes on to say, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the unto the garrison. Isn't this beautiful? Into the garrison of these uncircumcised, it may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint, in other words, limit, to the Lord to save by many or by few. In other words, Jonathan had that courageous heart. He had a Romans 8:31 heart, 8:31, that said, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the heart of Jonathan. If God be for us, who can be against us? He was walking in obedience. He was walking in faith. Now, I'm kind of having to stop right in the middle of what I'm trying to say. And it somehow happens that way. So I'm going to have to pick up where I left off next week. But I want to stop with that passage. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the heart of Jonathan. He had that faith to move on and upward. The faith to go up into the mountains alone with him and his armor bearer only. Now, the Lord may call you to do something without looking for credit, without looking for notoriety, but to go and do a courageous work for God. To stand up and to stand out. The Lord might have you do something, whatever it might be, but he's asking that you would have the faith of a Jonathan. to walk in obedience to His word. It's thereby the Lord blessing and prospering your way. Amen? Well, I didn't get to all the areas that I needed to get to today in the word because of time, but we'll pick up next week where we left off. Praise God. We'll go ahead and pray now, and we'll sing as we continue that saga next week about faith and obedience. It's about the story of Saul and David between the two and how that one obeyed and one did not. And I find that, to me, this is a very interesting topic. I've always truly enjoyed that. But I don't know if I could even get through it today, and by the grace of Almighty God, because I honestly, really, there was a time when I was using notes, but no more. I put that aside. I can't go there anymore. And I just want the Lord to lead, guide, and direct the words. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
And by the grace of God, as we step out, all of us by faith, we'll all walk by faith and not by sight. Isn't there a song to that? Where does that song
come
from? Huh?
Faith's victory.
Oh, I guess, well, yeah. We could go there too. But, you know, why don't we do this, though? Well, you know. Okay, Shirley. All right, you win. All right. Faith is a victory. Let's go there. We'll sing that song, Faith is a Victory. That's number 121 in the, if you have the print out there somewhere, turn there or pick it up. Is it in the regular book?
No, that one isn't.
It's not.
The printouts we need for that.
So otherwise it would have to be in either, if you can find a Gospel Melodies book near you, or it's going to be in a printout. Near you. And whoever might not have one, raise your hand if you want to follow along. So, praise God. Gordon, you have one? Okay. Well, praise God. Why don't we just go there then, and we'll sing Faith is a Victory. Praise God.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory. Victory, we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumphs trod. By faith they, like a whirlwind's breath, swept over every field. The faith by which they conquered death, his seal, our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth and girt about. The earth shall tremble neath the tread, and echo with the shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward toward the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' concrete name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Praise God. Be dismissed unto prayer and join us down below for lunch. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God.